Hi, everyone. Welcome to Franchise Interviews, Asking the Entrepreneur Who Owns One. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. Today, we have a great show. We're welcoming back a very special guest, Carol Mercurio, who's a franchise consultant for Franchise. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews on World Talk Radio, where the world comes to talk. So stick around, because we got a great show.
I could see the city light.
Take control of your destiny and increase your quality of life with Allegra Print and Imaging. This light manufacturing, professional business-to-business franchise offers two unique opportunities to entrepreneurs with little or no industry experience. Our conversion opportunity is an existing business model that provides immediate cash flow, experienced staff, and an established customer base, while the low-investment digital print center opportunity meets the growing digital printing, sign, and mailing service demands of businesses in small and medium markets. Realize your dream of owning your own business with the comprehensive support of one of the world's top franchisers. Call 888-258-2730 or visit www.allegranetwork.com and discover the power in the network.
Unlock your earning potential with a business to call your own with the Papa Lock franchise opportunity. Founded in 1991 by former law enforcement officers in Lafayette, Louisiana, Papa Lock is recognized as the leading locksmith franchise in the world, with 3,600 trained techs and licensed locksmiths serving a total population of more than 150 million in over 3,400 cities. Papa Lock provides multiple revenue streams to franchisees, such as locksmithing and car door unlocking, high-tech key generation, emergency roadside assistance, and emergency car door unlocking. If you would like to examine the Papa Lock franchise opportunity in more detail, please go to our website, www.papalock.com. That's www.papalock.com. Or call 337-233-6211. That number again is 337-233-6211.
Lock up your future today with Papa Lock.
Hello, Service Brands International. I got a problem. The more time I spend pursuing success, the less time I have to enjoy it. What am I going to do?
Don't worry. You made the right call. Service Brands International, a leading multi-brand franchiser, offers a variety of proven home services franchises that are ideally positioned for today's time-starved consumers and are exceptionally efficient to operate, giving you the time to run your business and time to enjoy your success.
There's Molly Maid,
a residential cleaning franchise.
Mr. Handyman,
the franchise solution for residential and commercial fix-it problems.
1-800-DRY-CLEAN,
the affordable franchise opportunity offering quality dry cleaning with the convenience of free pickup and delivery.
And Ducts.
That's DUCTZ, meeting the need for improved indoor air quality. For more information on how a Service Brands franchise can provide a life worth living, visit servicebrands.com.
That's servicebrands.com.
To reach a show host or guest during the live show, dial toll-free in North America 866-613-1612. Or, if outside the USA and Canada, dial 001-858-268-3068.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, Asking the Entrepreneur Who Owns One. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then this is a show to listen to. And today's show is being brought to you by the Aaron's Sales and Lease Ownership Franchise Opportunity. And Aaron's is a New York Stock Exchange-listed company ranked number 58 among franchise chains in worldwide sales. Aaron's is reinventing the way a growing and underserved market acquires furniture, electronics, appliances, and computers. Now's a great time to join the Aaron's franchise family. And Don, welcome back on this July 5th of 2007. Happy July 4th to you. One day late, my friend. How was your day yesterday?
Yeah, same you. Happy 4th and holiday and everything. You had a very nice day yesterday, Marty. Went to a friend's barbecue. You know, did the typical thing on 4th of July.
And right.
They had a, they have a pool, so our kids got to swim a little bit and have fun and hang out with their cousins and other friends' children. And
right.
It was a very good day last night. We didn't know whether they were going to still have the show because the weather wasn't that nice yesterday.
Yeah, it wasn't nice here in Pennsylvania either, yeah. Lots of rain.
A little light rain, but they still had the fireworks show last night, so we took the kids to that, and it was nice because it was the first time with our kids only being three.
Exactly.
First time seeing fireworks, so that was fun just watching them.
I imagine.
Enjoy the show, we had a nice time.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to all that stuff. You know, I'm going to have to wait a little while, I guess, but, you know, I guess 3 years old is that magic age where they start appreciating things like fireworks and Santa Claus and all that other stuff, you know?
It's great watching it. Going and, you know, watching them pick pumpkins and then go trick-or-treating. We've gone
That's
to a couple
great.
Carnivals, this summer so far, seeing them on the rides is fun, you know.
Right.
Smiling faces.
That's fantastic. Well, I know a couple weeks ago you took them to see the horses, didn't you, Don? I think they were taking their first pony ride.
Right, a horse show.
Yeah.
In town, so they got to experience that, and they had pony rides for the kids. So.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's something. Our last show, Don, we got to meet with Jason Zickerman, who's the COO for the Alternative Board, and also Blair Koch, who's a franchisee to the Alternative Board. And the Alternative Board is the world's largest franchisor of peer advisory board services and business coaching, and they're ranked in the annual Entrepreneur Franchise 500. The Alternative Board franchise owners have the unique opportunity to apply their business experience and expertise to help their local business community. What were your thoughts on last week's show?
It was a great show. I mean,
I
like you
so.
Said, they're the largest business coaching franchise, and they both talked about needing passion to be successful as a franchisee. And Jason was showing a lot of passion talking about the Alternative Board.
He really was.
Yeah. And Blair, she seemed very happy and successful as
right.
a franchisee. Right,
great experience.
Yeah.
You know, she seemed like a perfect match for the Alternative Board, you know, based on her experience, you know.
Yeah, and she chose them because she was just so impressed when she was going through her own due diligence, speaking to other franchisees. It was all a very positive experience. And a lot of the best franchises, they get a lot of support. And Blair also seemed just very happy when she helps other businesses.
She did.
A real feel-good type of, situation. So, spoke to a couple of people very happy about their jobs.
Yeah, absolutely. They had a detailed training program, too, didn't they, Don? I mean, it was like, it was like a month or something like that, you know?
Right.
I mean, it was just very, very detailed. So I was really impressed with that, you know? But
yeah.
I like their service. I think, you know, it gives a business a chance to get objective, unbiased guidance, you know, and candid advice that you probably don't, you know, you and I have spoken about this many times. You wouldn't really get from your family or your friends, you know, using this type of service, you know?
Or even speaking to an accountant.
Absolutely.
That was one phase of the business. We need someone who can discuss all phases and aspects of your business.
It's fantastic. It's really it's an affordable option to having a board of directors, you know. So I like the whole business coach concept. I think you're going to see a lot more of it in the future. So,
yeah.
But great show, though. I mean, they really did a fantastic job. They're a great guest. We're going to have them back. I mean, we didn't even get to cover half of what we wanted to ask them, you know, which is pretty typical of most shows, you know. So, you know, we'll have to invite them back. But
we talk about having people back, and today, for example, we're doing that. We're having Kyle
Exactly. Go
back just to getting into discussing what's going on today and future shows. Today's going to be part two of that.
Right.
Speaking with her, we last met with her on March 29th.
That's right.
Very knowledgeable. She's a franchise office owner.
Right.
Just a lot of broad industry experience, both business and franchising. And as a franchise consultant, she uses the skills she's built up with her candidates to find the perfect franchise opportunity. She understands all franchising concepts, and she just looks to put people and put them in a nice situation, find the right fit.
Right, she's a matchmaker for franchising, yeah. I also have we uploaded the presentation, or Carol's presentation. It's called Choosing the Right Franchise, Don, on franchiseinterviews.com. So for our listeners, if you're listening live or you're listening on the archives, you can actually go to franchiseinterviews.com and click the Franchise Radio tab, and you can actually download the presentation and follow along. Or you can listen to part one as well. You know, part one of the show is in the audio archives. And, again, I think that was on March 29th. So.
Right. July 12th, we're going to be meeting with a franchisor and franchisee for Liberty Tax Service.
Right.
And that's the brainchild of John Hewitt, of course, 37-year veteran of the tax industry. He's renowned for his business and financial success and franchising leadership. He built Jackson Hewitt from the ground up into the second-largest tax preparation service in America. And and he started Liberty Tax Service, you know, soon afterwards. And the goal is to become the number one tax business in the world. So.
Right. He really knows about franchising, too. I mean, he's really in that Hall of Fame of franchising, Don. If there ever was such a thing, you know, I would put, you know, John in the category of, like, your Ray Kroc and your Fred DeLucas, you know. So, I mean,
right.
It's really, it's I'm looking forward to having him on the show. You know, Dan Castellani, he's the franchisee. He's from California. He's going to be joining John on the show. So it's going to be nice, again, to have that combination of a franchisor and franchisee. I thought that worked out really well last week.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so
find out what a franchisee has gone through in the whole process from
absolutely.
Choosing the franchise to training, starting up, see what happened. On July 19th, we're meeting with Warren Gresius, who we've
great.
Had on the show before. He's a specialist in sales, entrepreneurship, success in general.
Right.
We met with him last in April. Talked about all this, and this time, Marty, we're going to be focusing more on entrepreneurship.
And, yeah, and he really knows his stuff with entrepreneurship, too, Don. He has a different view. He gets into a lot of different things that you know, really need to be discussed when you're talking about going into your own business. And when we had Warren on the show in the past, you know, we spoke a lot about sales and things like that, but this
right.
show's going to focus more on entrepreneurship, so I'm really looking forward to that. He's great.
He's a Hall of Fame speaker, one of the most riveting motivational speakers in the business. Helped a lot of franchises, and I think you and I should both, before the show, line up all of our sales calls. We finish talking to him after the hour. We're gonna be so motivated and stuff. We're gonna start firing away. I'll probably make about 100 calls that day.
I gotta tell you, I mean, that day we had him on the show, I just felt like, you know, 5 minutes after just getting on the phone and just dialing people. He has that great ability of motivating you, you know. So he's great.
Then at the end of the month, we're going to be meeting with Scott Hainer of Yum Brands.
That's pretty big. That's great.
Yeah. Based in Louisville, Kentucky, they're the world's largest restaurant company in terms of system restaurants, over 34,000 restaurants in over 100 countries. We all know their brands, Kentucky Fried Chicken, Long John Silver's, Pizza Hut, Taco Bell. They also have A&W restaurants. I mean, they're basically the global leader of the chicken, quick service, seafood, pizza, Mexican-style food.
Yeah.
So...
We've referenced them so much on the show, too, Don, you know, so it's going to be nice to have Scott on the show, you know, because there's just really going to be so much to ask him. You know, I'm not going to know where to begin when, you know, when we have him on the show, but...
Last year, they generated more than almost $10 billion in total revenues.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's incredible. That's great.
Company
so, I mean,
sales and franchise fees, but that's an a huge company.
These are some pretty big shows we have coming up, Don. You know, I mean, if you think about it, you know, over the next, including today, you know, so I mean, you know, John Hewitt, Warren Gresius, you know, Yum. I mean, these are very big names, you know. So these are shows that, you know, our listeners certainly don't want to miss out on.
Right, yeah.
It's fantastic.
Whole purpose of the show.
Absolutely.
Give everybody as much information as we can on the franchise industry.
Right. I know you had some interesting articles you came across this week as well, Don, that I wanted to kind of discuss.
Yes. Yeah, Marty, very interesting. The Wall Street Journal... about franchising, its title is Why Running a Franchise is Easier Than Ever. It's by Gwendolyn Bounds and Raymond Flandes, dated June 25th. You don't have to quit your day job. You can even work from home. The article starts out, Bob McQuillan runs a tight ship at his Hollywood Tans franchise in Arlington, Virginia. He knows precisely when workers clock in and out, who each of his daily customers are, and which employees are selling what products at a regular price or discount. But there's a twist. He's doing all this micromanaging from home, 133 miles away in a town in New Jersey.
That's incredible.
He says, we monitor the business remotely via the Internet, says Mr. McQuillan, who co-owns the store with his wife and another business partner. While a manager handles the tanning salon's day-to-day affairs, he pulls up data from afar by computer. A fingerprint scanner monitors workers' arrivals, departures, while intricate pricing, almost in real time.
Wow.
I'm down there. Once every 3 months, he says. You know, very interesting.
That's incredible if you think about it. You know, that goes back to the whole, you know, this technology or this trend, Don. I think it is, you're going to see a new trend, you know, where it gives a entrepreneur a chance to work on the business and not in the business. You know what I mean? We spoke so often about, you know, and you and I have even been guilty of that, of, you know, working in the business, not on the business. You know, you have to physically be there. So I think that's great, you know, for I think you're going to have to set up some cameras in your Diamond Financial offices and just work from home.
Well, I used to own the Stewart's Root Beer. You know, we wanted to
do that.
Get into doing that.
And that was a while ago, too. I mean, that was, you know, several years ago. I mean, that's interesting that,
you know, this is not for all the industries, just certain amounts. And says the franchising world is letting loose. Gone are the days of one owner being chained behind the counter of a single store day in, day out. Today,
exactly.
There are absentee owners who oversee their operations from laptops and trios. The owners who maintain dual careers or run multiple franchises. At Hollywood Tanning Systems, more than half of the 330 franchise owners have another job.
That's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's very interesting.
The chief executive of Sport Clips Hair Salon estimates that 10 hours a week is a generous allowance for owners to physically be in stores.
Wow.
And franchisees for the Decor & You, Inc. interior design business can receive decorating and product training at home whenever they like via online video seminars. Even costs are more flexible with investments ranging from as low as $10,000 to more than $1 million. According to the IFA, and et cetera, that frees up owners to spread their talents around by opening multiple franchises, either of the same brand or even in different industries. A departure from the days when the rule of thumb for franchising was one person, one store, says Ann Dugan, author of Franchising 101.
Right.
Here's someone else we should try to get on the show.
Yeah, I've actually referenced her on the show several times, too, so the name rings a bell.
She's an assistant dean at the University of Pittsburgh Business School.
That's right.
Just very interesting. It says between 2003 and 2005, about 900 new franchising concepts were launched in all different industries. There's an estimated 760,000 U.S. franchise establishments generating more than $1.5 trillion in economic activity. These are numbers we've gone over before.
Right.
The result is that franchises must now compete more rigorously with one another for the best owners, in part by offering more flexible business models. The concept now is to be in the business, but not in the store all the time, says Steve Greenbaum, incoming chairman of the Franchise Association and CEO of Postnet International Franchise based in Denver.
Right.
The new breed of franchise can be seen at the men's haircutting franchise Sport Clips, where guys can watch sporting events while women trim their locks. Technological advances have translated into a more streamlined industry system where computer systems self-generate orders for products such as shampoo and conditioner when inventory runs low, and the ability of franchise owners to track sales over the Internet. Lastly, the vast majority of our owners are successful business people who are looking for additional sources of income, says Gordon Logan, founder and chief executive of Sport Clips. They're based out of Texas, Marty. Today, there are about 440 Sport Clips across the country. He estimates three-quarters of the owner have other jobs.
Right.
So I think this is interesting. Again, it's not all industries. There's a lot in franchise, and we've talked to a lot of our guests where really you have to be there and be working in business. But in certain industries like haircutting, tanning salon,
it's not necessary.
Yeah, yeah. You can have other jobs and have several franchise locations and not have to always be there.
Yeah, I think that's certainly going to you're going to get a lot more entrepreneurs interested in going into franchising with this type of technology as well, Don. You know,
right?
Because so many people don't want to quit their jobs. You know,
right?
Just
a little more of a safety net.
I agree.
People want outside investments in case anything happens to their job. I've helped a lot of, my dad's a former pilot. I speak to pilots, certain industries where it's, a little unstable. People unsure of their job, they're starting to be a little creative,
right.
Start to get their foot in something else in case something happens to their current job.
It's not putting all your eggs in one basket, you know?
Right.
So it is. It's very interesting. We're going to have to keep our eye on that, and see if they ever come out with stats and things like that. I'd be curious to see, what the statistics are as far as success rates, as far as, like, absentee owners,
Right.
So it should be interesting.
And this is only about half the article. Could have gone on forever, but
right.
I don't want our ratings to go down because I'm reading too much.
There you go. Well, I think Carol's actually in the studio, so I think what we'll do here, Don, is we'll take a quick break,
okay. And
we'll be right back with more franchise interviews on World Talk Radio, where the world comes to talk.
Do you have a talent for communicating business advice? Are you looking to control your work-life balance? Have you earned a six-figure income in the corporate world, yet dreamed of being your own boss? with helping local business owners solve problems, seize opportunities, and plan strategically give you great satisfaction? If so, the Alternative Board could be the meaningful and rewarding professional challenge you've been searching for. The Alternative Board, also known as TAB, is the world's largest franchisor of peer advisory boards and business coaching. We are currently seeking qualified entrepreneurs, business consultants, and corporate executives who have at least 10 years of senior-level business experience. As a franchise owner with the Alternative Board, you will chair monthly board meetings and provide executive coaching to CEOs, presidents, and owners of local businesses. You can share your business knowledge to help community business leaders achieve their vision of success. In addition to earning a consistent income from monthly membership dues, you also have the potential to start or expand consulting opportunities. Explore how you can apply your business expertise and give back to your community with TAB. Please visit our website at www.tabboards.com. That's TABBOARDS.com. Or you can call 1-800-727-0126. That's 1-800-727-0126. Do what you enjoy and enjoy what you do with the Alternative Board.
Experience the rewards of franchising with the Franchise Edge.
Are you considering franchising your business? Are you wondering about the risk and reward of franchising versus opening additional company-owned locations?
Not every business is right for franchising.
The Franchise Edge helps you evaluate the often complicated franchising process to see if it's a good fit for your business. The Franchise Edge team has experience as multi-unit company store operators, as well as franchisers and franchisees. We understand what it takes to successfully franchise a business and how to get our clients where they want to be. Let us help you answer the key questions.
Is my business franchisable?
Should I open more company locations or franchise?
How much will it cost to franchise?
Is it more profitable to franchise or expand internally?
What is required to franchise?
What is the timeline for franchising a business?
If franchising is the right direction for your company, the Franchise Edge can help you every step of the way, including
reviewing your current business model, fulfilling legal requirements, operations manuals, marketing materials, marketing plan, and selling franchises.
The Franchise Edge also works with individuals who are interested in buying a franchise. We represent a wide range of franchises, including pregnancy spas, restaurants, wine bars, and home service franchises. Let our experienced sales team help find the franchise that fits your interest.
Don't gamble with your future. Put the Franchise Edge to work for you.
Call 813-935-5087 for a free consultation. That's 813-935-5087.
Or go to our website at www.thefranchiseedge.com and complete the online form. That's www.thefranchiseedge.com.
Create a rewarding future for you and your family as an Aaron's Sales and Lease Ownership franchisee. Aaron's is changing the way a growing and underserved market acquires necessities like furniture, appliances, electronics, and computers. The Aaron's franchise opportunity offers today's entrepreneurs, you, potential for profits and growth. Aaron's Sales and Lease Ownership is a division of Aaron's Rents Incorporated, a New York Stock Exchange-listed company with more than 50 years of enviable results. Aaron's is ranked number one in its category by Entrepreneur Magazine and 58th among franchise chains in worldwide sales by Franchise Times magazine. Aaron's provides site selection assistance, comprehensive training, and traffic building marketing programs. Additionally, as a franchisee, you'll benefit from their national reputation, industry experience, operating systems, and manufacturing and distribution methods. For more information on the Aaron's franchise opportunity, call 1-800-551-6015. That's 1-800-551-6015. Or go to aaronsfranchise.com. That's AARONS franchise.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, Asking the Entrepreneur Who Owns One. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then this is a show to listen to. And today's show is being brought to you by the Aaron's Sales and Lease Franchise Opportunity. And Aaron's is a New York Stock Exchange-listed company and ranked number 58 among franchise chains and worldwide sales. Aaron's is reinventing the way a growing and underserved market acquires furniture, electronics, appliances, and computers. Now's a great time to join the Aaron's franchise family. And our next guest is Carol Mercurio, who is a franchise consultant for Franchise. And Carol helps folks better understand the whole franchising concept and if they may be a good fit for franchising, and also what's involved in franchising. And today's show is part two of our interview with Carol, whom we last met with on March 29th, which felt like yesterday. And Carol has broad industry experience in both business and franchising. And as a franchise consultant at Franchise, Carol uses her skills she has built to help her candidates find the perfect franchise opportunity. You can also download Carol's presentation. It's called Choosing the Right Franchise by going to franchiseinterviews.com. Click the Franchise Radio tab and go to the bottom of the page and download the presentation. And you can also listen to part one in our audio archives. So it was a great show. Hi, Carol. Good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, good morning. How are you both doing?
Good, Carol. It's great to have you back. And Don, I know you wanted to say hi to Carol.
Yeah, hey, Carol. How was your holiday yesterday? All right?
It was wonderful. A day off. I'll take it any time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll always take that. You've been getting down to the shore at all?
Not really, but and the weather here wasn't all that great. In fact, right now it's kind of pouring rain.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it's warm, and there's no snow and ice. I'll take it any time.
People listening, the shore means the Jersey Shore. Carol and I are both from New Jersey, and
everybody
refers to the Jersey Shore. It's one of the, you know, the nice benefits of the state here.
It sure is.
The time of the year is getting down to the shore. I don't live too far from there, so.
No, neither do I. And, you know, of course, you have the casinos attached to the shore, so that's why I stay away.
Exactly. Yeah, you're much closer. I'm a little further upstate, but.
Yeah. I think it's the one thing I miss the most, Carol, you know, when we moved from Jersey to Pennsylvania is the Jersey Shore, you know, and I always said we moved right next to the river, but it's not the same thing as the Jersey
Shore. No, there's nothing like going to the shore, as we call it.
Absolutely. You know, so, Carol, last time we had you on this show, we ended the show discussing that a lot of prospective franchisees think they know what they want, and you gave the great example of how many prospective franchisees want to buy a Dunkin' Donuts franchise simply because they love the product, and, you know, Don and I have told that story several occasions after we had you on the show, and you tell them that they can buy a dozen and get a cup of coffee without buying the whole store, you know, it's just a great
story. And that's typically what people do. They gravitate to what's familiar to them.
Absolutely.
And what they don't look at is the actual business model itself. And coincidentally, I was listening to the show before I went on, and you were talking, Don, about that article you were reading about absentee ownership. And I actually read that article about 20 minutes ago.
That's something.
And, you know, it's so true. I mean, you really want to look at what you want to accomplish when you own a business, and you should have the criteria that fits your lifestyle and where you want to be. And I think that article really brings a lot of it to life, you know, with a lot of these new business models now where you don't have to actually be there.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of advantages to that as well.
Right.
But, you know, people do gravitate to what they think they know, but ultimately, when all is said and done, they typically will buy something that is totally unrelated. And in the 7 years that I've been doing this, I've yet to place anyone in a business they ever expected to be in.
Yeah, I thought that was fascinating when you said that, Carol. You know, I mean, that's just amazing. Also, how you mentioned, you know, when you ask people, like, what kind of hours, you know, I think you referenced, like, what's the picture-perfect hours they would love to work, and so many people say to you they'd love to work 9 to 5, but they just don't think that that's an option, you know, so, and they'll still want to go into a Dunkin' Donuts, even though they'd like to have that lifestyle.
Exactly.
The 9 to 5
those
lifestyle,
are the same,
you know?
People we'll start the discussion with. You know, I want a Dunkin' Donuts, or I want a Quiznos, or I want a Subway, and I'm not suggesting that they're bad businesses.
Right.
But if they want to work 9 to 5, well, they've just taken those particular opportunities off their list.
Exactly.
Because they no longer match the model. And that's where my job becomes most difficult, is actually getting people to concentrate more on the business criteria rather than the product or service and making that secondary.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. I thought that would be a good place to start, too, Carol, because I know a lot of our listeners actually have downloaded the presentation. So I thought we can kind of start with, like, slide 17, which is determining your ideal business characteristics.
Perfect. And, you know, it is a great segue because when you're looking at these characteristics, ideally, if you start marking them down, you'll come up with your own business model at the end. And the first place most people want to start is, well, how many hours do I need to work?
Right.
And just like Dom was talking about that article this morning, there's one company that was mentioned in that article I don't think you spoke about. It's called Snap Fitness. And
right.
we do a lot of business with them because everything that they do can be controlled almost from your kitchen table. And it's all security security cameras and so forth that you can monitor from home. So if you want to work traditional business hours, you're looking at different types of models, and there are many models today. That's what makes franchising so appealing, that a lot of the home-based models are typically Monday through Friday, 9 to 5.
Right.
If you want to work weekends, then it opens the doors to other things. But, you know, that's what you really have to come to terms with. What is picture perfect in your mind? And then, of course, nothing is 100%, but at least you have some general idea of the direction you want to go, and how flexible are you with that? Are you willing to work occasional nights, occasional weekends, or does that have to be strictly more traditional business hours?
Right. Right. So much information you have to find out from someone initially before you can even talk about any type of franchise.
Well, that's true, and that's what the advantage of my service is that once we go through all of this, we've narrowed it down. So at the end of the process, what I do is present options to people based on what the picture perfect looks like or comes as close to that as we can based on what they're telling me is ideal. And same thing with, you know, what do you enjoy doing at work? I think we all go to work with things that, you know, when we start our day, there's things that we enjoy more than others.
Right.
I know for me, I do the things that I enjoy doing first because I like to start my day being very positive. And then I, you know, move on to the things that I enjoy doing less as the day progresses. So when you look at that, you know, what are the things that you do enjoy doing the most? What don't you like doing? And what I typically ask people, you know, what would you never want to have to do again? You know, if you had to do this, and that's kind of fill in the blank there, what is it, and why wouldn't you want to do it?
Right.
And my philosophy is that if there's things that you really dislike doing at work, why would you want to do them in a business? And if you're going to do them in a business where you're going to take a greater risk, you might as well be miserable in your job.
Exactly.
Or, you know, go back to corporate America, and at least you have a guaranteed paycheck.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think those are the things you really have to think about. You know, what do you like? What don't you like? What frustrates you? And what would you like to take out of the business that you would buy? If I don't want to do this. Well, then you don't want to look for a business that has those specific components.
Right.
And what are your strengths? You know, what do you consider your greatest strengths to be? We all know what our strengths are. We all know what our weaknesses are. And you want to make sure that you're putting your strengths to work for you.
Right.
And if you acknowledge your weaknesses but you still like the business model, it could be possible that that business model will allow you the opportunity to hire people that can do that particular task. As an example, if you don't have strong sales skills,
right.
but the business model is such where you can hire, say, a sales manager, well, then you manage the sales manager and let them do the selling.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's important that you know what you like and what you don't like and what are your strengths and what are your weaknesses. And sales is, you know, anything you buy, any franchise is going to be a sales component. But if you're weak at sales, you want something that's probably going to be less salesy or sales-oriented. In most cases, that's retail
right.
because people typically will come in to buy something. You're not going to them.
Exactly. I bet that's a big one, too, Carol. A lot of people say to you that they don't like selling, I imagine,
right.
Or they're afraid of selling, you know, so that's interesting.
And they're terrified of it.
Exactly.
I mean, really, there are people who tell me that they're terrified because they kind of, in their minds, equate sales to, and I've heard this so many times, to the car salesman.
Right.
That everybody hates.
That perception.
Right. So they're like, well, I could never do that. Well, what they don't understand is sales is really not that difficult. You know, if you listen to your consumer and you ask questions and you sell them what they need, and then I always go back to buying a car just as the example they give. You know, when I go into a sales to buy a car, first thing, as a female, you're judged a little bit differently than a male in the first place. And when you start looking at automobiles, they'll start telling me about the engine and, you know, all the different mechanical components of that vehicle.
Right.
And my response is, does it come in red?
Yeah.
You know, because I don't care.
Exactly.
I don't understand it. It doesn't
right.
matter to me. I just want to know how I'm going to look when I'm driving the car down the road.
Absolutely.
So, and that's a good way of thinking about selling. You sell people what they need, and the advantage of franchising when you're in the sales arena is that a lot of it is marketing-driven, so people are going to call you based on that marketing piece. So you have one
right.
step above many people that are selling.
That's interesting.
Right, they have to get over their fear a little bit, knowing that they have that support and backing of the franchise, and like you said, in certain franchises, they can hire a manager.
Right.
Right.
You have to realize that sales is mostly negative, mostly rejection, and that it's, you know, the harder you work, just the more sales you're going to get, but it's, you know, a lot of it is through the training and support you get from the franchise. And
which, again, is an extremely important component as you're doing your due diligence. What kind of training program does the company have? And if sales is your weakness, how well do they train you on the sales component of the business? You know, what's the ideal profile of somebody for that particular opportunity? And if they rank sales as being one of the criteria, you know, background in sales, then that might be something that somebody who fears selling should stay away from.
Absolutely, I agree.
Same with managing people. You know, a lot of people that I speak with maybe have never managed people before, but they don't have a fear of managing them. And then there's people on the flip side that have managed people in the past, and they just don't want to be bothered with it. So in that case, you might be looking for a business where there are many out there where you may not need employees at all.
Exactly.
You can start by yourself or add them very gradually as your business grows and you get more confident in it. But, you know, figure out how many people do you want to hire. Is it a smaller number? Is it a larger number? What is your experience with management? Have you done it in the past? How would your employees rank you as a manager? What made you good at it? Why do you feel you're not so good at it? And why would you want to do it again?
That's why your service is so valuable. I mean, there's
right.
so many questions and a lot that people don't think about when they're just on their own going and looking at a few franchises directly. And, you know,
right.
of course, people are making a big investment here, so they have to make
absolutely. And I tell that to people all the time. It's probably their second biggest investment they're going to make. And it should be in something that they're going to enjoy, and they don't want to get into it realizing, oh, my gosh, I don't have the skill set to be successful here. You want to go through all that prior to making that commitment. So you have to put some of the emotional attachment to the model of the business aside, you know, the product or the service, and really delve deeply into each component of the business and where you feel that you're going to fit. And when you're looking at hiring people, some people have really a problem dealing with lower-end employees, you know, the minimum-wage employees. Some people just don't want to be involved with hiring the minimum-wage employee. They'd rather be dealing with more upscaled or educated people. And in franchising, you know, that really separates the businesses because a lot of them rely on minimum-wage types employees. And if you've never managed them before, there's always going to be upsides, there's going to be downsides.
Right.
And you have to kind of come to terms with that. How do you feel about the types of people? And I always ask people to describe who they would ideally like to hire. You know, what are the characteristics of the ideal employee for you? And in most cases, I would say they describe themselves.
Yeah.
And is that realistic?
Right, exactly.
Right.
That's interesting.
So there's sometimes, Kyle, where you go through all this initial profiling and sometimes tell people just don't think it's a match for you to own a franchise. Like, imagine that happens sometimes, right?
Oh, it definitely happens. And when I start off my consultation with people, I make it very clear to them that you may find through this journey that franchising is absolutely not a good fit for you.
Right.
But at least you'll know.
And in most franchises, you basically got to be a people person. I mean, there's probably very few franchises where it's not really the case. I mean, I talked about the article in segment one where there are some industries where you could be absentee ownership as people have their other jobs. But in most franchises, you have to be a people person, and that new franchise investor has to realize that.
Well, you know, for the majority, I think you do because you have to, you know, manage something, some component of the business, and you're going to be interacting with customers. But, you know, there's one segment, I think, that, you know, people who come from the IT field, as an example, you know, they're more technical, maybe have less people skills. But there are definitely businesses, you know, you take the IT personality or the engineer, very analytical, you know, they may approach things a little differently than somebody, say, with a sales background or somebody that's worked in customer service. But you can put them into industries that are more geared towards that types of personality. But you're limited. You know, it kind of limits it down, but it also limits it for me, too, when I work with those types of personalities. If they're not comfortable dealing with people, then they're not going to be comfortable in a lot of phases of the business as well. You're absolutely right.
And you're just really increasing the chance of that person being successful because, you know, the old saying, people don't change, and you got to find the right fit for them all around.
And that's true, and you have to acknowledge your weaknesses, which, you know, for most people, acknowledging their strengths oftentimes is harder than acknowledging their weaknesses.
Right.
But, you know, for me, it's sort of easy because when you go through a consultation, it takes a couple of hours, you get to pretty much understand someone's personality, how they answer questions, where they're comfortable, where they pause, what they get excited about. And, you know, I can bring that to light for them, and I'm very honest and might tell them that you may want to sell something, but based on your personality, I think that would be hard. And then we'll talk about it, and then eventually we'll get down to the truth.
How would Marty and I do, Carol? Would you accept us?
no, that's a pretty loaded question, but I would say you do very well.
Okay, thank you.
It was interesting. You know, last show, you know, I was listening to it last week, Carol, and I remember you said that, you know, a lot of times you won't move on until you get answers to these questions as well, you know, because you almost like force, you know, them to give you a response.
Well, especially from the motivational end, you know, what actually motivates somebody to do this.
Right.
You know, there's not a motivation, and it's not just to be, you know, I want to be independent, I want to control my own destiny. Those are, you know, pretty much standard answers, but you have to go layers deeper because, you know, the next thing on this presentation is about risk.
Right.
You know, so if you can't get through the emotional reasons why, the chances of you taking a risk are probably slim to none.
Exactly.
If there's no pain and there's nothing, that, you know, I look at it this way, that you're either running towards something or you're running away from something.
Right.
And either you're running towards the pain or you're going to run away from the pain. And so that's how you have to kind of look at business ownership. Are you running away from something, or are you running towards something that's going to make the pain less, more enjoyable, and change your life? But that involves risk. And, you know, what you want to do through your due diligence is you want to minimize that risk as much as possible. But if somebody ranks risk, you know, when I ask people to rank their level of risk as high, medium, or low, and they rank their risk level or risk tolerance as low, well, I need to really address that because if you've never taken risks, and by the way, you know, when I ask people what's the biggest risk you've ever taken, I'm sure you'll enjoy this answer. The most common answer for men is, anybody want to guess?
Getting married.
And that is it.
Are you speaking from experience, Don?
you got the most common answer. I don't know if it's the right one that their wife would want to hear, but, you know, that is probably the most common answer.
Right.
So taking a risk on marriage was a big deal. If that was a big deal, can you imagine what it's going to be like buying a business?
Right.
So you have to really kind of figure, you know, what risks have you taken in life, whether they're personal risks, but more importantly, financial. You know, what kind of financial risks have you taken in life? You know, are you generally a risk taker? And once you've taken those risks and made a decision, I always ask the question, how'd you sleep?
Yeah, that's a deep question as well, too, Carol. You know,
I'll give you a little story. There was a gentleman I was working with. He was a great candidate. I was working with both he and his wife, and they were pretty much close to making a decision on a given franchise, and they did their due diligence probably longer and better than I've seen anybody do. I mean, it went on for months.
Yeah.
And they finally made the decision to move forward, and they were both so excited about it, and they signed the franchise agreement, sent in their check. And the next morning, the company told me that they called and said, don't cash the check. And I called him back, and I said, Tony, what happened? He said, I couldn't sleep last night. I thought my wife was going to have to take me to the emergency room. I thought I was having a heart attack.
Incredible.
So, you know, when I asked the question, how'd you sleep, there was a perfect example. The guy could not move forward under any circumstances.
It still wasn't 100% comfortable, and you have to get to that point with people. Yeah.
Well, you know, if you're going to be that upset about it, it's not worth it.
Right.
Right, exactly.
You know, even though it was the right thing, and his wife really, really wanted to do it, and she said to me, well, you know, here's my choice. I'm in business that I'm going to love, or my husband will be dead.
Right. There you
go. So, you know, they decided not to move forward. And that's why you also need, the next thing on this presentation, is spousal support. You know, that if you don't have the support of your spouse, I don't care what personality you are, when you have two people living together, sharing the same financial bank account, it comes down to being fair to one another to get them involved in that decision-making.
I agree.
And there's people that I've worked with that will tell me that I don't have to get my wife involved because I'm the decision-maker in the family and, you know, my wife is the one who will go along with anything that I say. I don't happen to agree with that because I always say, well, you should live in my house. You'd find that that wouldn't work. But,
right.
You know, I can't imagine your house is all that much different than mine. And I've seen it happen where a deal will actually go south because the wife will say no.
I agree, yeah. Yeah, I think that's a big one, Carol, you know, is getting the family support, you know.
And there are, you know, many franchises that we work with because of that today that they'll mandate that the wife or the husband is involved at some point of the due diligence or maybe even require them to come to a discovery day so that they meet both parties.
Right.
Even though the spouse may not be involved in the business at all, they want a sense of how this is going to interact with their daily way of life.
Right. That makes
yeah, it's a
lot
good
of
point,
sense.
Carol.
Yeah.
On the financing end, a lot of times applications get held up, us receiving a new application to help someone you know, start with the franchise because, you know, the spouse hasn't given her approval on it,
right.
on that concept. So I see that a lot happen in my business.
Absolutely.
Well, and, you know, you're getting them at the end, you know,
right.
when, you know, they're finalizing all the paperwork. What I try to do is prevent that from happening. You know, if they go for financing, that they have all their ducks in a row, whether it's to go to an attorney or look for financing, all those things, all the other components that are going to make this deal actually happen really have to be in place before they get to the financial end.
Absolutely. Carol, are you able to stick around for another segment?
Sure, I would love to.
That's fantastic. So I think what we'll do here is we'll take another quick break, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews on World Talk Radio, where the world comes to talk.
Do you have a talent for communicating business advice? Are you looking to control your work-life balance? Have you earned a six-figure income in the corporate world, yet dreamed of being your own boss? Would helping local business owners solve problems, seize opportunities, and plan strategically give you great satisfaction? If so, the Alternative Board could be the meaningful and rewarding professional challenge you've been searching for. The Alternative Board, also known as TAB, is the world's largest franchiser of peer advisory boards and business coaching. We are currently seeking qualified entrepreneurs, business consultants, and corporate executives who have at least 10 years of senior-level business experience. As a franchise owner with the Alternative Board, you will chair monthly board meetings and provide executive coaching to CEOs, presidents, and owners of local businesses. You can share your business knowledge to help community business leaders achieve their vision of success. In addition to earning a consistent income from monthly membership dues, you also have the potential to start or expand consulting opportunities. Explore how you can apply your business expertise and give back to your community with TAB. Please visit our website at www.tabboards.com. That's TABBOARDS.com. Or you can call 1-800-727-0126. That's 1-800-727-0126. Do what you enjoy and enjoy what you do with the Alternative Board. Tap into a $41 billion a year industry with Garlic Gyms. Did you know Americans eat about 100 acres of pizza every single day, or about 350 slices per second? Garlic Gyms has spent years looking high and low for a higher quality pizza that is delivered quick enough so that you're still hungry when it arrives. Garlic Gyms makes the most delicious gourmet pizza and at the same time provides excellent and fast service to your door. Garlic Gyms has perfected the science experience of prompt pizza delivery by learning and experimenting. The exciting twist to this is great pizza. Never again will you have to choose between great pizza and great service. Are you interested in owning a Garlic Jim's? We're currently accepting applications to participate in our exciting world of gourmet pizza delivery and carryout. Talk to us and find out how we sold nearly 100 franchises in 6 states in our first 2.5 years of operation. To get started right away, go to www.garlicjims.com. That's www.garlicjims.com. Or call us 425-918-1900. That's 425-918-1900. Garlic Jim's.
Ready for a great-tasting dessert that's much better for you and your kids? Try the Miami Rice Pudding Company. Miami Rice Pudding Company offers over 35 flavors of rice pudding, delivered in cups or cones with a customer's choice of toppings. This unbelievable franchise opportunity is introducing this great dessert concept to the malls, airports, art shows, and similar venues in your market. Miami Rice Pudding's goal is to help franchisees bring the healthy joy of flavored rice pudding to the world. Join our franchise system and open in your market with a low investment and operate both the fixed location and mobile units. Our system requires minimal food preparation and our pudding has a long shelf life. Mall chains are eager for us to expand to their locations because we're unique, competitive, nutritious, and a fun concept. Call us today, toll free at 1-866-6-EAT-RICE. That's 1-866-6-EAT-RICE. Or go to our website at MiamiRicePudding.com. That's MiamiRicePudding.com.
Good day, mate. Want to explore owning your own business? Yearn for the adventure of being the first in a new concept? You'll go positively ape over a Jungle Quest franchise. Beyond bouncing balls and inflatables, it's an indoor rock climbing and challenge course for kids. For ages 2 to 12, the center features zip lines, Burma bridges, swings, rock walls, tree houses, and tunnels. For 12 years, Jungle Quest has served 30,000 explorers with drop-ins and birthday parties, field trips, and camps. Now available as a franchise. Go to JungleQuest.net for more information. That's JungleQuest.net.
To reach a show host or guest during the live show, dial toll-free in North America, 866-613-1612. Or, if outside the USA and Canada, dial 001-858-268-3068.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, Asking the Entrepreneur Who Owns One. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then this is a show to listen to. And today's guest is Carol Mercurio, who is a franchise consultant for Franchoice. And Carol helps folks better understand the whole franchising concept and if they may be a good fit for franchising. And Carol, I think we left off with determining your ideal business characteristics. And I think you want to talk a little bit about status.
It's one of my favorites because, you know, a lot of the franchising concepts are not high status.
Right.
You know, if you look at some of these categories, and then there's others, you know, where you'll find there's more of an executive model. And that becomes an issue with people depending on what their background and experience is and what are you willing to give up to have a business on your own and how important is status to you. And the way I break it down is if you were at a neighbor's for dinner and somebody asked you what you did for a living, how important is your answer?
That's interesting.
And for some people, it's very important. And when you go through this process with a lot of people, it really comes down to what's more important, what's on your business card or what's on your deposit slip.
Right.
And, you know, I always use the example of, you know, I would say the most common answer to things that people wouldn't do that are relative to status is I wouldn't pick up garbage.
Right.
Which is, it's kind of an interesting answer because if you look at that industry of the trash industry or garbage industry, there isn't probably one person out there that doesn't have trash.
Exactly.
Or doesn't know somebody that has trash.
Right, absolutely.
So, you know, you have to think about what are you willing to do if the industry is probably one of the biggest and best industries that everybody needs, it's recession-resistant, internet-proof, that would be trash. And, of course, I always throw this little bit of humor into this equation here that my husband's in the trash business and has been for many, many years. And I live in New Jersey with an Italian last name, so I can't suppose.
There you go, stereotype.
You know, be very careful how you deal with me. But, of course, if they don't get that humor, it's not very funny. But what you really want to think about is, you know, how do you feel about negotiating deals with CEOs or presidents of companies? Or are you okay with dealing with, you know, the everyday consumer or dealing directly to the consumer? Or should it be business to business? Because there are different franchises that fit into those categories. Or even if you look at retail, so it may not be visible to the consumer, but there are retail businesses that will do business to business, deal with other business owners, as well as the consumer, which is a major plus because you have two ends of dealing with business rather than being limited to one. But you really have to determine, you know, what is it? If you want a high-status business, then that will put me in a direction that would be very different than a Dunkin' Donuts, for example.
Right.
Although some people would put some of these food concepts into high status. I'm not sure why, but I do believe that people's perception of food is a higher status.
That's interesting.
But there are certainly a lot of things you can do that go outside food that, you know, you can be a consultant in different areas that would be more executive-type models. Or with a lot of the franchises, if you're looking for an executive-type model, it may be in a traditional type of business, but you become the manager of that business as opposed to getting your hands dirty every day.
That's
so you can still develop that into more of an executive model.
Right, right.
And, you know, what kind of products or services do you want to offer your public? Because that may limit some of the things that you look at if you shy away from certain industries.
Interesting.
But it is something that you really want to think about, you know, how important is status? And, you know, I always use the household cleaning industry as an example of that as well. You know, it's a very big business today. You know, it's a business that's changed through the years because of dual-income families, that it almost becomes a necessity rather than a luxury. But a lot of people will be embarrassed to say that I clean toilets for a living.
Right, right.
And the perfect example in that industry, when you look at the business model, it's not about cleaning toilets at all because that's not what you do.
Right.
It's about sales, marketing, and management.
Exactly.
So, again, you're looking at what is the business model itself. So put
right.
the industry aside. Look at the model and how is that going to work in your community.
Such a good question, though, Carol.
It
people
really is.
Sometimes everything they're thinking about with investing in a business is when you tell people at a party, what do you do? I mean, that's a great question. People don't want
it
to be
It is a great question. And if you really think about it,
yeah.
You know, I would say, you know, the common denominator with people when you have a discussion is what do you do for a living? And when I tell people I'm self-employed, it doesn't matter what I do. It's
right.
I think they're impressed with the fact that I own my own business. So I think business ownership in itself brings a certain level of prestige because there's so many people out there that I think would want to own a business, but they don't have the courage to do it. So they admire somebody that does.
There's a pretty popular fast-growing franchise that involves, you know, it's pet waste removal.
Right.
I looked at myself when I saw it. I'm like, do I want to tell people that I, you know, that I do that for a living? And, you know, I thought about that when I saw that type of franchise that, you know, a lot of people are pet owners, and that's the type of service that's needed.
Right.
I guess it takes a special type of person to.
and they're making a lot of money doing it.
Exactly. Right.
If you can put the status issue aside.
Right.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, with, you know, to kind of summarize what we've spoken about, you know, all these different characteristics are things that you really need to write down and think about and put on a piece of paper. And if you put it all down and you start figuring out your likes and your dislikes, what you need to do is really prioritize those preferences. You know, these are things that I know I want to do. These are things I don't want to do. And by that, you're creating your own model of what your business should look like and, you know, what were your must-haves and what are the things you would consider doing, what would you never consider doing.
Exactly.
And that should be the focus when you're looking at a business, not the product or the service, but does that product or service meet the criteria that's most important that's going to make me happy and have a productive life and lifestyle?
Yeah. Carol, we have about 30 seconds. The show goes by so fast.
Oh, my God, I can't believe
again.
It.
what's the best way someone can get in touch with you for your services, Carol?
Well, I have a toll-free number,
okay.
And that number is 888 818, and that's FRAN, Fran, or 3726. And I'd love an opportunity to discuss what we do in depth, and our service is free. So I'd be more than happy to help anyone that has an interest.
That's fantastic.
Carol, you're great at explaining all of this.
You really are, Carol.
We are going to have Carol Mercurio Part 3 because...
we're going to have to.
Yeah.
Well, we still have a whole segment left, you know, and that's just
exactly.
On the due diligence alone, and I would be delighted. It would be my pleasure.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. Well, thanks again, Carol. You're great, and we'll be talking to you soon.
I enjoyed it. Thanks, and you guys have a great day.
Thanks, Carol.
Okay.
Take care.
All right.
Very informative.
Bye-bye.
Calm down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, just the whole status thing, you know, it's something I don't think we've ever mentioned on the show, you know. But it makes so much sense. You know, I never thought about that. So
yeah, we've had other consultants on, and she brings up some unique aspects and interesting questions during her whole presentation of speaking to somebody. It really goes into in-depth and detail. I think it all leads towards finding out if someone's right for franchising, and then someone who does make the decision, they've done so much due diligence and have looked at all these different questions and profiling that they're making the right decision. That's
right.
For their long-term, you know, the long-term goals.
I agree. Well, you did a great job again, Don, you know, so hope you enjoy your day today. And
thank you, Marty.
We have a bunch of great shows coming up, so go to franchiseinterviews.com, and I'll be talking to you next week, Don.
Okay, great, Marty.
Take care. Thanks, Don. Take care.
Right. Bye-bye.
Talk Radio, the number one source for informative talk on the World Wide Web.